Tonight is Wednesday night, April the 3rd. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. Going to do something on Pesach tonight, trying to define the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Okay, Rabotai. Okay, we're going to, as we said last week, we're going to do something tonight on the Yontif of Pesach. Tomorrow night we'll be on the Haggadah at 8:15 in the main sanctuary. But tonight we're going to do a halachic topic related to one of the primary mitzvot of the Yontif of Pesach. The Torah writes in the middle of chapter 12 of Sefer Shmot, Shivat Yamim, on page number 1, top line. So I saved a tree by just taking those two words of the beginning of the pasuk and wrote them in. V'shivat yamim matzot tochelu. You shall eat matzot for 7 days. Ah, bayom harishon tashbitu se'or mibatechem. On the first day, you get rid of the fermenting agent. Se'or is what we would call today yeast. In the Gemara's time, it wasn't necessarily yeast, it was sour dough, and we translate se'or as zoyerteg, which is sour dough. So you are to rid your house of all se'or on the first day. Ki kol ochel chametz, because anybody who eats chametz, v'nichrita ha-nefesh ahi mi-Yisrael, such a person shall be cut off from Am Yisrael, when? Mi-yom ha-rishon v'ad yom ha-shvi'i. So this pasuk is almost incoherent. Makes very little sense. The flow of the pasuk itself is incredibly difficult. It starts by telling us that we are to eat matzot for 7 days. The Torah uses that expression several times, yet there is no real halachic obligation to eat matzot for 7 days. Elsewhere in this particular chapter, the Torah writes, Ba'erev tochlu matzot. You are to eat matzah at night, and the halacha understands that the only obligation of eating matzah is at the Seder. A kezayis of matzah at the Seder. As to whether or not there is a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days, although not an imperative, is there a fulfillment of a mitzvah, is subject to a titanic debate amongst the Rishonim. We will not focus on that tonight. Suffice it to say that there are some who believe that every time you eat a kezayis of matzah, you get credit for another mitzvah. And others say, that's not true at all. You're just not allowed to eat chametz for 7 days. But there is no mitzvah per se to eat matzah. And assuming, as the Vilna Gaon and others do, who believe that there is a mitzvah to eat matzah, the one question which they have never answered is what difference is there between Sukkot and Pesach? On Sukkot, you are obligated to eat in the sukkah only the first night. If you don't eat bread or grain the rest of Sukkot, you could theoretically get away without eating in the sukkah. You can eat meat and fish and fruits and vegetables, although it's advised to eat everything in the sukkah, but you violate nothing by eating them out of the sukkah. The only thing that you are obligated to eat in the sukkah is grain. And that could be avoided the rest of Yom Tov. And yet, when we do eat in the sukkah all 7 days, we make a bracha. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu leishev basukkah. Yet, when it comes to eating matzah all Pesach, no one has yet stated that we should make a bracha of al achilat matzah throughout the 7 days. So I can't explain why there would be such a difference if you believe that the mitzvah is to eat matzah all 7 days. The imperative is the first night, but there is a kiyum ha-mitzvah, a fulfillment of mitzvah all 7 days. Good. Now, now the Torah continues. However, on the first day, I want you to get rid of your chametz.
There's something wrong with that. But not before.
Okay, that's one of the things we're talking about tonight. And we're going to come away trying to understand this pasuk. So, first of all, the word ach itself is an unusual phrase after telling you that what? You should eat matzah for 7 days. But you get rid of the sourdough, or let's call it the chametz, on the first day.
It's not but really.
Right. Why should you do so? Because if you eat chametz, now the next phrase, because if you eat chametz, what happens? You are chayav karet, v'nichrita ha-nefesh ahi mi-Yisrael. When are you obligated, when are you chayav karet, when you eat chametz? Miyom rishon ad yom hashvi'i. From the first till the seventh day. So it's just like going from one to the other without much coherency. So let's deal with the phrase Ach Bayom HaRishon. If you were to read the text simply, you come away with the practice, with the impression that the obligation to get rid of chametz is on the first day of Pesach. That's what it says, Bayom HaRishon. So what question would you ask under those circumstances? What question would you ask?
How do you do that in winter?
Is it a practical question? Or is it a halakhic question?
The Shivat Yamim, that includes that day, obviously.
No, it says, Ach Bayom HaRishon. Good. So that's a different question. It doesn't say anything about getting rid of your chametz because you're not allowed to own chametz. The reason which it says, why should I get rid of my chametz? Because if you eat it, I am going to get kares. So the question would be, what's now Nachama, say your question. If the reason for getting rid of the chametz is to make sure you don't eat it, well then on the first day, if you eat chametz any time during the first day, the text says you get kares. So then, when should you be getting rid of your chametz?
Before.
Well, before, like we all do. So the Gemara is going to struggle and try to prove. They will spend literally an entire page in the Gemara, we're going to look at part of it, to prove that although it says Bayom HaRishon, it does not mean the first day of Pesach, but it means Erev Pesach. It means Erev Pesach. With all different types of proofs. So they're going to quote some psukim where the word Rishon means before. Ach Bayom Rishon. Before the first day. Which is, it's just unbelievable how difficult it is. But we are going to see two or three suggestions in the Gemara and then analyze some of the opinions as to what the word Tashbitu really means. So if you go to page number 2, and again I can say, Yankees lost today again, so that's why I didn't put any Yankee numbers there. They struck out 18 times today. A Yankee record. What? By injured. I don't have enough pages. They have 10 guys on the injured list.
This is not the shield. That's great. We have a new Met fan born and the Yankees lost. This is all.
Oh. You want to leave? Yeah. So if you look at page number 2, which is Daf Hey Amud Aleph in Masechet Pesachim, about 10 lines from the bottom, I bracketed several lines which will quote a machloket between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, how to prove that the word Yom Rishon does not mean first day of Yom Tov, but it means Erev Yom Tov. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned in a Braita. Ach Bayom Harishon Tashpitu Sa'or Mibatecha. On the first day, get rid of the chametz from your house. Says the Braita, May Erev Yom Tov. What does this phrase mean? On Erev Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, O Eino Ela B'Yom Tov Atzmo. Maybe we should translate it the way it should be translated. Namely, the first day is the first day. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah says elsewhere, not here, Lo Tishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. That's a pasuk that's written three times in the Torah. In Parshas Mishpatim, in Parshas Kitisa, and in Parshat Re'eh. Three times. That you are not permitted to shecht the Korban Pesach with chametz. Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. How does he interpret it? Lo tishchat et ha-pesach ve'adayan chametz kayam. You are not permitted to slaughter the Korban Pesach if there is chametz around. So when does shechitat ha-pesach take place? Chatzot on Erev Pesach. Well, if you're not permitted to have chametz around while you shecht the Korban Pesach, willy-nilly, you must say that what? That the destruction or getting rid of the chametz must take place on Erev Yom Tov by Chatzot. So although this pasuk does not say anything of the sort, we combine that prohibition, and which says you are not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach if there is chametz around. And now we reinterpret the word Yom Rishon to mean on Erev Pesach. The Gemara previously says, I didn't want to read that section, says, how do I know it's, maybe it's you're not supposed to have chametz the entire Erev Pesach. Because on Erev Pesach you shecht the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, that's what the word ach comes to teach us. Ach means part of Bayom Rishon. The first half of Bayom Rishon, Erev Pesach, you're allowed Ach Chametz. The second part of the day, you are not permitted to have Chametz in your house. So, he believes that whatever Tashbitu means, whatever the word Tashbitu means, that Tashbitu has to be completed by Chatzot on Erev Pesach. Fine. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Tzarich. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't have to go elsewhere to another source, to another link, namely the Pesach, to prove that the word Bayom HaRishon can't mean Yom Tov itself. I can learn it out from the Pasuk itself, says Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Tzarich. Harehu Omer, Ach Bayom HaRishon, Tashpitu Seor Mibatechem. On the first day, destroy the chametz from your house, that is in your house. I'm translating the word Tashpitu the way Rabbi Akiva reads it. Destroy it. And not only destroy it in any manner which you find convenient for you, but you must necessarily burn the chametz. You must necessarily burn the chametz. Umatzinu, and we have found elsewhere, uksiv, and it is written in relationship to the first day, kol milacha lo ta'asu. You're not allowed to do any milacha on the first day of Yom Tov.
You can't burn it then.
Ah, umatzinu lehav ara shehi av malacha. And we have noted that the fire is one of the 39 malachot. So how, just one second, how could the Torah have possibly said that you should burn your chametz on Erev Pesach, on Pesach, when you're not allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov? You're not allowed to burn it. So, anybody want to challenge Rabbi Akiva?
Isn't a carbon a fire? I mean,
okay, so there is a special derivation that in the Beit HaMikdash, you're allowed to burn korbanot on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. But that doesn't tell us anything. Okay. Ask a more powerful question!
On
Yom Tov, you're allowed Havara's mutter.
But if it's not for destructive purposes.
So now here will come the question. Here comes the question.
But there's other ways to destroy it.
Not according to Rabbi Akiva.
I mean, when they say to throw it in the yam.
No, he doesn't believe that. That's what the Chachamim say. He doesn't believe that. He believes there's only one way to fulfill the mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz. That's to burn it. And he learns it out from Notar. Because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But notar is any meat of a korban that is left over beyond the prescribed time of eating that korban. So certain korbanot can be eaten for one day and one night. Certain korbanot, 2 days and one night. If it's left over, it says, v'hanotar mimenu ba'esh yisrofu. And Rabbi Akiva joins hands with Rabbi Yehuda. It's known as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ein bir chametz ela sreifa. Can only burn. So now the question is, what do you mean? According to Torah law, you can strike a match on Yom Tov. You can strike a match on Yom Tov. Havara on Yom Tov is mutter. We don't, midirabanan, we don't create new fires on Yom Tov. According to Torah, you're allowed to. We only transfer fire from an existing fire. But that's also Havara. My yahrzeit candle going, and now I take my candles to light candles. That's also Havara. Or you take a candle to turn on to cook something, make a bonfire. So what does he mean? That you're not allowed to burn your chametz on Yom Tov, Havara. So apparently, he believes that which we allow certain melachot on Yom Tov is only for the purpose of ochel nefesh, for eating. But to protect you from alav, protect you from owning chametz, burning is not permitted. Havara is prohibited. Therefore, if the Torah tells us to burn our chametz Bayom HaRishon, when must Bayom HaRishon be? Erev Yom Tov. It must be Be'erev Yom Tov. It can't be on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov, fire is prohibited for the purpose of
destruction.
Now, I want to take your question and then raise a very famous question. Yes?
Well, also, isn't there the halacha that if you can prepare beforehand, you're supposed to?
Another absolutely question. Not. There is no such halacha for Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook as much as you would like on Yom Tov.
For eating.
For eating. And you don't have to prepare a thing before Yom Tov. That's Shabbos. Eis asher tofu eifu ve'eis asher tevashelu basher. That's only for Shabbos. Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook everything. You're not going to get to shul much, but you're allowed to cook everything on Yom Tov itself. Yes?
Do you think they're worried that if you burned your chametz on Yom Tov, you derive benefit from the warmth or from the light?
So what would be so terrible?
It's about benefit. Chametz
over Yom Tov.
Okay. That's interesting. Yes? That would be an interesting proof. Yes? Good. So his prohibition of demanding that, number one, you burn your chametz, proves that it has to be Erev Yom Tov.
How would the Karaim look at this pasuk? I'm just curious. Is that one of the arguments of the Karaim have? This pasuk is so clear that it's Yom Rishon.
That's an excellent question.
It's so belate that it's Yom
Good.
Rishon.
So I once told you that the Karaim and the Tztukim only... They it's not that they denied all of Torah Shebaal Peh.
Right.
They accepted Torah Shebaal Peh unless our rabbis are changing the text. Now this is a case like that. Yeah. But they agree that you're not allowed to make a fire on Yom Kippur. So they would have to, by definition, they agreed to that. So they would say, under these circumstances, I'll have to accept Torah Shabbat Peh. So now, what is Rabbi Akiva saying about the word Tashbitu?
Only by fire.
Good. Now we're going to see, Rashi says, that's absolutely not true. I don't care what Rabbi Akiva says. It's absolutely not true. Turn to page number 3 for a minute. And on the right-hand side, you have a Tosafot in Masechet Pesachim and Daf Dalet Amud Bet. And Tosafot says, forget about the caption of the Tosafot, I'm going to get back to it in a minute. Pirish Bekuntris, Midichsiv Tashbitu veloksiv tva'aru. If the Torah meant that you have to burn your chametz, the Torah should have said, ach bayom harishon tva'aru se'or mibateichem. Burn your chametz. It doesn't say in the Torah tva'aru. What does it say? Tashbitu. Therefore, says Rashi, alma Hashbata Belevi. It has nothing to do with physical burning. It has to do with destroying the chametz in your heart. Destroying the chametz in your heart, internally. Which the Gemara calls Bitul. And Rashi here clearly rejects Rabbi Akiva and says if Rabbi Akiva were correct, under those circumstances, the Torah should not have written the word Tashbitu, but rather use the word Tiva'aru. And it doesn't.
So we could be Mevata all our chametz, right?
What?
We could be Mevata all our chametz. We don't have to get rid of anything. We just be Mevata all in our life.
Correct. You don't have to do anything.
That'd be great.
And we'll see what exactly is. You don't have to clean, you don't have to sell, you don't have to destroy, nothing. Just make a declaration.
What do we have to say?
That's a pasuk in Parshat Kitavo in relationship to Vidui Ma'asrot.
Yeah, right.
So Vidui Ma'asrot.
That same terminology.
That's correct. And even there, the word Biarti does not mean that he burned.
Right.
Correct. I've gotten rid of it.
Right.
Correct. That is correct. So what you're saying is that the word Tva'aru could have been interpreted, just get rid of it.
Right.
Yes.
So if it's really a fire has to be done before, because you can't create this fire, you brought it on Yom Tov.
Well,
if it's Bitul, why couldn't you make the declaration on the first day?
Because you will have already violated it. As soon as Yom Tov starts at night, you've already violated ownership of chametz. That's what we're going
to
say.
So
in
other words, as Yom Tov is coming in, when you're about to light the candles, you can't then do it.
We'll see. Based on this pasuk, as you are lighting the candles, you can still do bitul. There is another Gemara that says it can't be done after Chatzot, because that's when we believe the Isur Chametz begins, not on Pesach, but Erev Pesach. Now, does it sound strange that Rashi disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? Tell me why Rashi can't argue with Rabbi Akiva. Tell me why.
Much later.
Just forget about time. Rabbi Akiva is a Tana. Nobody, a Tana is one of the Tanaim of the Tanaimic era. From the Mishnah. Rashi was 1,000 years later. He's a Rishon. Amoraim can't argue with Tanaim. Amoraic sages of the Talmud can argue amongst themselves, but they can't disagree with somebody who was a Tana. Impossible. How could Rashi just say, well, So that's why one of the Tosafists, the Ri, is going to tell Rashi, what are you talking about? Read it, keep it reading. V'kasha l'Ri. So the Ri asks a question. Dahai hashbata havarahi. The word tashbitu really means what? Burning. How do I know? V'lo bitul, and it's not bitul the way you, Rashi, said it. Disanya bishma'atin. Because in this masechta, one block later, what does it say? Rabbi Akiva Omer ein sarich. You don't have to have any proofs to prove that the word Yom Rishon means not Yom Tov, but rather what? Erev Yom Tov. Why? Hareyu Omer tashbitu. Umatsinu lehav ara shehi av melacha. So, Rashi, you can't argue with Rabbi Akiva. You can't just say, it doesn't say Tva'aru, it says Tashbitu, therefore I believe that the word Tashbitu does not mean to physically destroy, but to be Mivatelit Belay. How'd you make that up, Rashi? How'd you, Rashi, make that up? Fine. So now, Tosfos is going to say that. I'm going to skip a couple of lines to where it says Va'omeri. Everybody have the place? Va'omeri? The Ri is going to answer. Now, truth be told, the Gemara itself said that you don't have to burn anything. The Gemara says, according to Torah law, bitul is sufficient. Is sufficient. But it can't mean what Rashi says. It can't mean what Rashi says. Because the word tashbitu means to destroy. Means to destroy. The omeri, the midaraita bebitul ba'almosagi. According to Torah law, just bitul suffices. Mita'am, the me'achar shebitlo, have a hefker, the yatsa mirushuto umutar. Says Tosfos, says the Ri. When you do bitul, according to Tosfot, you're not destroying the chametz at all. What you're doing is being mafkir the chametz. You're making it hefker.
You change its status.
No, it's not the chametz, the status of them. It changes its ownership. It's right. Ownerless.
Right. Doesn't belong.
So how does that protect you? How does that protect you from anything? How does that protect you from anything? Because I should have put
it's
this...
It's not in your possession. If it doesn't
so
belong
what?
To you, it's not in your possession.
Okay, so how do we know? Because the word lecha. There is enough... I should have photostated that pasuk for you. It says, lo yera'eh lecha chametz. Don't have your chametz. So when I declare it hefker, it doesn't belong to me. Hefker means I renounce my ownership.
Disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva.
No. Rabbi Akiva says, your chametz, what do you have to do?
Destroy it.
You have to destroy. But it's not mine. I don't have to go around and destroy your chametz. No, it's not. It's legalistic. It's not semantics. It's legalistic. If I own chametz, the only way to protect myself is to destroy it. But
if it doesn't belong to
me, I don't have to go to ShopRite to buy chametz to destroy it. I just don't own anything. So how do I do it? I just make it hefker. I say, this tape recorder is hefker. That means anybody in this room is allowed to take it. It is now ownerless. Until you pick it up. This is the famous Ri, and in other Tosfot, it's cited in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam. That bitul equals hefker. Bitul equals hefker. And in fact, in our little formula, which is printed in everybody's Haggadah, what we say, kol chamira v'chamia, at the end we say, Libatel v'leheve hefker. It is ka'afradar. We're going to explain that phrase in a little while. Fine. So it means that I agree, Tosfos says, that Rabbi Akiva is correct. That if you had chametz, there's only one way to get rid of it. To burn it. And burning can't be done on Yom Tov. It has to be done in Erev Yom. The Gemara says, bitul suffices, because bitul is hefker. And once you declare something hefker, you no longer own it. If you no longer own it, you have no obligation to engage in destroying that chametz. Yes?
You started tonight and you said the reason that we're supposed to get rid of our chametz is so that we don't have it in our house and possibly eat it.
That's correct.
So if I have some chametz in my house that's not mine and because I've made it bitul and it doesn't belong to anybody, I still risk eating it in my house. It's still a big problem.
That's why the Rabbanan came along and said, search and destroy. That's why we do
it.
That's why
we, this was okay.
He's talking about on a d'oraita level. On a d'oraita, the rabbis now said, you know what? We're not going to rely on just bitul. Because you can not own it, but if you eat something that you don't own and it's chametz, you get karet. So the rabbis now said, we're going to make you go ahead and search for chametz, and any chametz that you find, what are you supposed to do with it? You have to, no, you have to destroy it. You must burn it.
Oh, no, but I mean if you on, I'm sorry, if on Pesach, it's already Pesach, and you find something, don't you have to do bitul? Don't you just do it with
it? It's too late to do bitul on Pesach.
Like you forgot
what we do is we burn it on Chol HaMoed. If on Yom Tov, you put a plate over it, just that nobody should see it and eat it. As soon as Chol HaMoed comes, if you find a ring ding in the house, just then on Chol HaMoed, you burn it. Yeah.
When are you supposed to do the bitul? Yom Rishon?
No. On Erev Yom Tov. On Erev Yom Tov. Now, that's fine. Now, then, when Jews started becoming incredibly wealthy because they were liquor merchants, then that's when they introduced the way we sell chametz today, because they would have suffered enormous financial loss. But we're not talking about selling tonight. Talking about bitul and destroying. That's the only thing that we are talking about. That's shitat hatosafot. If you go shopping any time next couple of days, you'll tell people that's the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri's definition of bitul. It is hefker. The Ramban went wild. I mean wild. Unfortunately, we only have 10 pages of the Ramban's commentary on Maseches Pesachim. That's all that survived. 7 of them are attacking the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Tam. 7 of them. And I'm going to show you most of the questions, as many as time allows, and they were cited on page number 4 by a comment by the Meiri, who wrote a commentary called Magen Avot. And I'll give you the history of this book. The Meiri was a very late Rishon in southern France. The Ramban lived in Spain. When the Ramban died, his students went to move to several places of the world to try to spread the Ramban's opinions. The Ramban himself went to Eretz Yisrael. And many of his students followed him. Many of his students. In fact, the Ramban wrote that the desolation which he noticed in the early 13th century in Eretz Yisrael was so vast that he couldn't find a minyan to daven with. Couldn't find a minyan to daven with. And the Rambam, when he went to Israel, also spoke about the utter destruction, and that is one of the great brachot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that no Gentile nation has had the ability to make a successful run at civilizing and colonizing Eretz Yisrael. It's remained a desert until we, Am Yisrael, came back in 1948. But the Rambam's visit was important because he wrote a letter and he said he went on the Har HaBayit. That was a very important letter. He went on the he davened on the Har HaBayit. Yeah. Yeah. So now, one of the places where the students of the Ramban went was in southern France, where the Meiri happened to have been the rabbi. And he was furious that the Ramban, their student, his students, tried to change the practices of Ashkenazic Jewry in southern France. So he wrote a book defending the practices of the fathers. Magen Avot. I am going to defend the practices of all of those scholars in southern France and show the Ramban nicht azoi schnell. We're not going to uproot everything that we've been doing just because you, Ramban, said so. That is correct. That is exactly why the Ramban students went.
Right.
Precisely. Now, this particular article of the Magen Avot is 5 pages long, where he's going to mention 7 or 8 of the questions of the Ramban and then go through paragraph by paragraph to show that his questions are nicht so powerful questions. So, what we're going to read is the first paragraph only, in which he captures all of the questions on the Rabbeinu Tam. And he writes, Af barishon shel psachim, irali imotam ha-talmidim. When I was learning rishon shel psachim, Maseches Psachim used to be divided into 2 books. That's why it's in the plural. Psachim. Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Megillah, Tanit, all of these Masechtot are in the singular. Shabbat, only Psachim is in the plural. Because there were 2 Maseches Psachim. Maseches Psachim Rishon and Maseches Psachim Sheni. Maseches Psachim Sheni dealt with all of the Prakim, 5 of them, that are exclusively Korban Pesach related. And then the other one was also 5 Prakim that dealt with everything else besides the Korban Pesach. Matzah, Maror, Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim, Bayiron, Bayimatzah. So he writes, Af Barishon Shel Psachim, when we were learning the first of the 2 Maseches Psachims, Irali, I had an episode in Otam Talmudim with those very same students. She'anu Rigilim Lifaresh HaBitul, our practice was to interpret the Bitul Kishitato Shel Rabbeinu Yaakov, to follow the interpretation of Rabbeinu Yaakov. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. He was Rashi's grandson. His name was Yaakov Tam. Shepiresh Be'inyin HaBitul Mipnei SheHaBitul Hu KeHefker. He, the Rabbeinu Tam, said that the word bitul means hefker. Vishuv eino shelo vishelcha. It's not yours, and the halacha is, if it's not yours, iataro'eh. Aval ataro'eh shelacherim. If it's yours, you can't have it. If it's not yours, you can see it in your house. In fact, everybody here that I know of has chametz in your house on Pesach. It's the Gentiles. We don't get rid of the chametz when we sell it. It sits in a closet, in a cabinet, in a room. How can we have chametz in our house? Because it's not ours. And the chachamim are not worried that we are going to eat chametz that is owned by the Gentile, because that would be theft. Stealing. And the Torah trusts us that we are, and the rabbis trust us, that we are not going to engage in theft. Therefore, that's what bittul is. Just declare your chametz hefker. Now, if you declare your chametz hefker, you still have a right to eat it. You're not stealing it from anybody. It belongs to everybody. Anybody can take it. So therefore, for our chametz, the rabbis had to react and say, no, we're afraid that you're going to eat this chametz on Pesach. Therefore, you've got to either sell it or get rid of it and destroy it. That's why we have search and destroy. Vehereni, and they showed me, the next word is a little difficult, Kishitas Harav, Shehiskarnu, they showed me their Rebbe's opinion. Who was their Rebbe? The Ramban. Sheota Svara Shel Rabbeinu Tam Nitbatla Legamre. That the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam was totally annulled by the Ramban. Vishibchu Divarav. And they, the students, praised the Ramban for uprooting the Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation. Ad shelomatzu lo yodayim viraglayim bebeit notzar. So much so that he couldn't find what? His hands or his feet. In other words, there's no defense for his opinion. Shehikshe alav harbe kushyot. The Ramban asked dozens of questions against the Rabbeinu Tam. Chada, number one. Midilo tani lemikriya lehai bitul hefker klal. Not once in the Talmud is the word bitul ever identified as hefker. Not once. The word hefker is used all over Shas. If bitul is the equivalent of hefker, why didn't the Gemara simply identify the word bitul and tell us it means it is hefker? Number two, v'hasheni, shebe'alma lo matzinu shiyehe lashon bitul nikra belashon hefker klal. There are many times when the halacha speaks about bitul in other contexts. And not once did anybody ever say in those other contexts that it means what? Hefker. Not once. And he gives you an example. Shebe'inyin bitul avoda zara. Eino ratzono lomar shiyehe hefker. There is something called bitul avoda zara. What is bitul avoda zara? If a Gentile worshipped avoda zara, am I allowed to derive any benefit from that item?
No.
Never. However, if the Gentile is mevatel it, the Gentile says, I am never going to use this chair as avodah zarah. I'm not going to bow down to it any longer. I'm not going to use it in the service of idolatrous Baal. I'm going to use it as a chair to sit on. That's it. That is mevatel the shem avodah zarah. It annuls its declaration as avodah zarah, and now a Jew is allowed to benefit from it. A Jew is allowed to benefit from it. Did anybody ever, says the Ramban, ever call that hefker? Of course not. Because hefker would accomplish nothing. If a Gentile had avodah zarah, this chair was avodah zarah, and he renounced ownership, I still can't use it. Why can't I use it? Because it's still an avodah zarah. It's an ownerless avodah zarah. The only way you can use this item is if you negate the shame avodah zarah. You nullify, make it null and void as an avodah zarah. The word hefker has no application to that. V'chein bitul rishus. V'chein bitul rishus. Bitul rishus means something that we use in our tinek eruv. In our tinek eruv. In order to have an eruv, What you have to do is join all of the residents in Teaneck and make them one happy family.
Yeah.
One happy family. That's part of the idea of an Eruv. It means le'arev, to mix everybody together. We're not separate owners. We're all one happy family. And I give you permission to walk on my property, and you give me permission to walk on your property, so that there is not one foot in Teaneck where I can't walk within this entire closed area. Not one area. Now, that idea, we today have a way of doing it by taking a box of matzos and granting it to all of the people in Teaneck. All of the people in Teaneck. That's how we get everybody together. We all own one box of matzah, and we all share that box of matzah. So we're, for this Shabbos, we're all one happy family. We're all eating from the same chalent. Fine. That only works for the observant members of the community to be mevatel reshus like this. But there are non-members of the community who are not Jewish. So how do we get a right to walk on Mr. Roeder's property? Right? He used to live right next door to me. Mr. Roeder, from the Roeder Center. How do I have a right? So the highest ranking official of the township, either the mayor or maybe the freeholder, whoever is the hanking around, we rent the rest of Teaneck from him. We rent it. We pay him $1 a year, and he rents all of the non-Jewish properties to us. We explain what's going on. Now, it's called Bitul Rishus. What does Bitul Rishus mean? Rishus is your domain. I am mevatel my Rishus to you. I am allowing you permission to walk, to walk on my property. I wasn't mafkir my house. Why would anyone be mafkir my house? Says the Ramban. There is never an example throughout the entire Talmud where the word bitul is to be interpreted as hefker. Therefore, in relationship to bitul chametz, I, the Ramban, do not believe that it means hefker. That's his second question. First question, it's never been identified as hefker chametz. It's always called bitul. Question number two, the word bitul is used in other halakhic contexts. It's never applied, the word hefker can never substitute for it. The hashlishit. Now the third question. Shehabitul pashut hu bigimara belo machloket shehu mo'il. Every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam agrees. You can do my class now.
How do you think I look?
I know, but now you qualify. You can sit in the class and participate. Because there are some kids who don't like to, you know, sing along with when you're talking. So I make them do it on the loudspeaker in front of the whole school. That's class participation. Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam. That's their response. Says the Ramban, every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam says that bitul works. Nobody disagrees with this halacha. Ve'ilu behefker. However, by hefker, matzinu beperek ein bein hamudar. We've seen in a perek in Maseches Nedarim called ein bein hamudar. Dele Rab Yossi, hefker kimatana. The halachic status of hefker is exactly like a gift. Namely, ma matana ada asya l'rishus mikabel, lo nafik merishut notein. If I want to give you this tape recorder, when does it leave my possession? When someone else takes it. If I just say, I want to give you a matana, and you don't come and pick it up, it remains in my possession. So too, says Rabbi Yossi, hefker works as well. If I mafkir this tape recorder, it has not left my possession until what? Somebody else picked it up.
Is that true?
That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So therefore, if I am mafkir my chametz on Erev Pesach, and nobody comes and takes it, and nobody probably will, so who is the legal owner of that chametz? Right? Says the Ramban. That means Rabbi Yossi would deny the halach of bittul. And I, Ramban, can tell you that not one Bavli or Yerushalmi or any source ever says that someone doesn't agree with bittul. Someone doesn't agree with bittul. This, obviously, they disagree. Af hefker ad asur l'rishus zocheh lo nafik me reshut mafkir. When I am mafkir this, if until somebody picks it up, in whose halachic domain does this remain? Mine. Therefore, third question of the Ramban. Hefker would accomplish nothing whatsoever according to Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara never ever says that bittul is effective except according to Rabbi Yossi. No one ever said that. That was question number three. The harivit shahahefker nire leharavzal. Hefker, according to the Ramban, shehu asur b'shabbat. You're not allowed to do hefker on Shabbos. And yet, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, we make bitul on Shabbos. In fact, we don't burn the chametz on Shabbos when Erev Pesach. We only rely on bitul. How could you possibly claim that it's hefker when the Mishnah in Masechet Moed Katan and elsewhere in Beitza says Ein Makdishin V'Ein Macharimin Ma'arimin V'Ein Machrimin, and then it says Vadai Hefker Hevelikichad Menayiv. You're not allowed to do anything which changes the halachic legal ownership status of an item. So if I not permitted to be machdish on Shabbos, I can't say this tape recorder belongs to Hegdesh. You can't. Because it's like sale. No sales are permitted on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Tell me why sales are prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're afraid you're going to write it down. You're going to record the sale. So any time that there is a legal transaction of something changing domain, changing ownership, that's prohibited midrabanan on Shabbat. So if Erev Pesach came out on Shabbat, asks the Ramban, you should not be able to do bittul, because you can't do hefker. And we know that every single Jew on Erev Pesach, Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, makes bittul. Number five. V'hachamishit. And the fifth question. Shahahefker sarich shlosha. There is a Gemara in Nedarim that says that if you want to make something hefker, it has to be pronounced in front of three people. Why is there such a din? Because there were people who saved hundreds and thousands of dollars with a simple hefker trick. If you are a farmer and you have thousands of acres of oranges in Rehovot, you ever try going on Route 3 and then there's a turnoff to Rehovot? It's like mile and mile and mile with orange groves. Now, I have to give away 22% of my produce as the tithes. 2% go to a Kohen for Truma. 10% go to the Levi. 10% I have to schlep to Yerushalayim and eat it. Or, on the third and the sixth year, 10% has to be given to a poor person. That's 22% of my produce, which I will not benefit from. But there is a halacha. Hazochem in hefker. Anything that you acquire from hefker is exempt from Trumot and Maaseroth. Exempt. So what did people do? They went inside. All of my orange orchards are hefker. And nobody heard them. And what did they do? Now when it's time to harvest, I take the oranges, not from my field, from the hefker field. I save 22%. So the rabbis made a rule. Hefker has to be acknowledged in the presence of three people. Not let me see you try that trick. I'm being mafker. And they can take it just as much. They don't have to feel guilty. Says the Ramban, did you ever see anybody on Erev Pesach assemble three people to make bittul? Never saw that. Everybody does that in the confines of their own home. So, Rabbi Nitam, what are you talking about? V'hashishit, and the sixth question. Shehahefker tzorich dibur v'amiru b'peh. In order to declare anything as hefker, you have to articulate it verbally. Thinking about making something hefker is worthless. And yet, what do we call bitul in the Gemara? Yivatlenu bilibo. Yivatlenu bilibo. So it can't be hefker. V'hashviyit, and the seventh question.
Isn't that connected to the Hades? Isn't that connected to the three? Because verbally stating it, somebody has to hear it.
No. I could verbally state it right here. If I didn't need three people, I would just have to say it to myself. That's all. V'hashviyit. She'ein ze lashon hefker, she'ilu omer adam, Kol nechasai yiyu b'teilim v'chashuvim ke'afar, eino hefker b'kach. That's not an expression that you normally do to make something hefker. So if I were to use the Beatles statement and say, this tape recorder is batel ke'afra da'ara, that didn't make it hefker. That's the expression. That's the way we say bitul. Li batel ke'afra da'ara. Let it become batel like the dust of the earth. I still own it. You can't pronounce hefker by using the expression associated with bitul. It's not going to become hefker. And yet, the text, the suggested text, is Yehei yivatlenu libatel ke'afra da'ara. Making it batel like the dirt of the ground doesn't make it hefker. V'hashminit, and the eighth question. The cave on the lav la'acherim hu, v'ihunami matzi zachi bei, lav da'acherim hu. Since by hefker, I have as much right to reclaim it as anybody else, it's not that only you have a right to to pick it up if I was mafkid this tape recorder. I have just as much right to do so. So, to some extent, I have not divorced myself completely from this chametz if I just said it was hefker. Because although other people can take it, but I have just as much a right to take it as anybody else. Truth is, there were more than eight questions. But he decided to ask those eight questions. And he spends the rest of the next 4.5 pages trying to resolve all of these issues and defend the honor of the Rabbeinu Tam. But what did the Ramban believe? Ramban and Rashi shook hands. How do they believe Bitul works? It has nothing to do with Hefker. It is claiming that the chametz that I own is not chametz. It's dirt. That's what Bitul is. Where you declare that the chametz that I own is worthless. Worthless. Like we say in the text, libatel ke'afra da'ara, like afar ha'aretz. Nice. So how are you protected from ownership of chametz? How do you protect yourself from the lav? No, I didn't burn anything. How? How does the beetle protect me? Because I don't own chametz. Torah says you're not allowed to own chametz. Now I own sourdough, yeast. I own dirt. Lots of dirt. The Ran, commenting and accepting his Rebbe's interpretation, said, that's why the rabbis said, another reason why the rabbis said, and then and then. Imagine a guy has a store and the inventory is worth $100,000. You think he really needs it? Nobody, says the Ran, means to make something, and you have to really believe it. You have to believe that it's nothing but dirt. Says the Ran, it's a joke. If you had two pieces of bread left over, that I can understand, that's after the arm. But if you have a huge quantity of chametz, packages of spaghetti, and boxes of life, and a
rice
whole...
wheel.
What?
Rice wheels.
Rice wheels, not chametz. It's rice.
Kidneys.
Right. It's kidneys. We're not talking about kidneys.
So, it's,
right. Or a whole Drake's factory. I can't say that this is dirt. Therefore, since the rabbis don't trust us that we're going to mean it sincerely, even though it could work, the rabbi said, what do you got to do? Search and destroy. If you can't search and destroy, don't want to, sell it. But we are not going to allow you to rely on the biblical exemption to ownership of chametz simply by bitul. Because if you believe that bitul is making it and considering it dirt, that is a tough sell to the rabbanim based on the fact that you have a significant amount of chametz. Now there are some people, I have no problems with them, who will not sell any real chametz with Bechira's chametz. They'll sell the jam that's left over, meaning all products that are not really chametz, that don't have a kashul of Pesach, that's what they're going to include in Bechira's chametz. Your son-in-law, he's one of those.
So are we.
So are you, okay. I didn't know that, but he might know. So, but regular real chametz is never going to be sold. So when he makes bitul on the real chametz, he can mean it. Because he is either going to destroy it, or whatever he has left, he can. But for most of us who do not really get rid of our chametz, so either we have to sell it, or just to keep it in our house, and say that I'm going to be protected on a d'oraita level based on its dirt, the Ran says correctly, that's a joke. So therefore, the rabbis intervened and said, search and destroy, because we can't rely on the d'oraita. And if you don't search and destroy, at least the next level is to sell all of your chametz. So now let's just conclude by rereading the pasuk which we started with now. Let's just reread the pasuk which we started with on page number 1. Shivat yamim matzot tochel. Ach, bayom arishon, Now, Tashbitu Sarmi Batar, get rid of the chametz. Now, you could say that the Torah is telling you to get rid of the chametz as a precaution. Ki chol ochel chametz v'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-himi Yisrael. Because if you eat chametz, what's going to happen? You're going to get kares. So how does the Torah protect you from eating chametz? How does the Torah protect you? By telling you, get rid of that chametz. Tashbitu. What does the word tashbitu mean? So Tosfos says tashbitu means to burn. That's the most effective way to what? Make sure you don't eat it. If it's just tashbitu, like the Ramban, to declare it null and void, to declare it like the dirt, does that protect you from eating it? No. You can call it dirt all you want, but it's a ringding. I'm going to eat it on Pesach. Why wouldn't I be tempted to? So, if the Ramban was right, the flow of the Pasuk is very, very difficult. The flow of the Pasuk makes a lot of sense if it means, like Rabbi Akiva said, destroy! Destroy it! Then you are protected from eating. Now, how do you understand the first four words of the Pasuk? Why does the Torah mention matzah and not eating chametz in the same pasuk? What's one got to do with the other? Yes, it's for all of you in this room except for me. Tell me why you should be exempt from eating matzah. It's a mitzvah matzah. Why are you obligated to eat?
Because
it's mentioned in the same pasuk as not eating chametz. Whoever is obligated to observe the law of not eating chametz is obligated to eat matzah.
What about the idea about the Korban Pesach, that you're supposed to eat it because it's like a symbol of the Korban Pesach, and you're supposed to eat it? No, that doesn't
No, but why don't you ask, but in the Mikdash, women eat the Korban Pesach.
Right, isn't matzah like a substitute for...
Matzah is a mitzvah d'oraita. That's why we eat afikoman, or korev,
right,
perhaps.
Okay.
But the real mitzvah of matzah is a mitzvah d'oraita. Do you know where else the association of a positive and a negative mandated that you should observe another time-bound mitzvah?
It's a harvest shomer, right?
Correct! That you have to make kiddush. How do I know that women must make kiddush? Because they're obligated to observe lo ta'aseh kol melacha. And Zachor, which is the positive, Shamor, which is not doing B'diborecha Nevru. Why was it B'diborecha? To teach you this halacha. Here too, it's not B'diborecha, it's the Pasuk Echad. Shivas Yameh Matzel Tocheilu. Eat matzah. Whoever eats chametz gets covered. So the drash is, whoever is obligated to observe the negative, and that has nothing to do with a time restriction, is obligated to observe the positive, despite the fact that it is a mitzvah asay shehazman gerabah.
And also the B'yom Rishon is kind of stuck in there and explained through this, but they still don't, as far as I'm concerned, and who am I to argue through Rabbi Akiva, but...
I agree.
But B'yom Rishon, everywhere in the Torah, B'yom Rishon is Yom Rishon for
of
every yantif.
The Gemara itself asks the question, Olekachtem lachem B'yom HaRishon, pre-Eitz Adar on Sukkot.
Right.
What does the Torah tell us? When do we take an aluminum
Or how about in Reishi, the days of Reishi, right, like the Yom Rishon, he created
It didn't say, it says Yom Echad.
Okay.
It doesn't say Yom Rishon.
Okay.
But it says, Olekachtem lachem Yom. So the Gemara asks, how could you say that means Erev Yantif?
Right.
We don't take a lulav and esrog on Erev
Yantif. Exactly. So
of
how could it be so inconsistent?
And also, look at the pasuk itself. The miyom harishon ad yom hashvi'i. What is the yom harishon in that
it's
pasuk?
The first day.
From the first day to the seventh day.
Right.
I know. In the same pasuk. In the same pasuk, the word yom harishon means two different things.
Right.
Come on.
So, yeah.
I agree with you. It's one of the many things we're going to ask the Rabbi Shalom.
Right.
Why did you write Erev Pesach and write Yom Rishon?
Right.
Why did you do that? Yes.
I don't know if because I'm thinking about opening the cook together, right? If you had tiny bit of milk in a large pot of meat, the milk is bitul.
Right.
But we actually mean it's literally bitul. We can eat from that. We can eat them. Right.
That's a different principle of bitul. It means you annul. In that respect, it's very similar to the Ramban. Here we annul the chametz. There, what do we annul?
The drop of milk.
The drop of milk.
But we go so far as to allow us to eat it because we really believe the milk is
yes.
But if we believe that the chametz is futile, why couldn't we eat it?
Okay, that's a good question. That's an excellent question. I don't have a good answer for that. We obviously don't.
We obviously don't. That's what I'm saying.
We have wine, which means beetle and not being from Avodah Zarah.
Because the Gentile has to do it. He has to cancel his shame of our desire. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week is Tuesday night. Remember that. Tuesday night. Tuesday night.
I know, so like always pushes back. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Not a problem.
Yeah. 9 o'clock,
Friday night?
Yeah, 9:15. I know it's late. And if it's raining, I feel bad asking you to come. It's supposed to rain.
Okay.
If you come, we will definitely.